Local News, Culture, and NPR.
From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farm and Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. On today's show, we have a Grahamsville Fair report you won't want to miss.
Great big lumberjack, yo-ho!
Join me at the Grahamsville Little World's Fair. It's the longest-running independent fair in New York State. From 4-H livestock shows to lumberjack competitions, we chat with the people who make this tiny fair feel larger than life. Plus, the Lake Communities Alliance celebrated a big victory when the New York State Supreme Court overturned the Avon Park development project. But their calls to continue protecting the local environment haven't stopped. We chat with Jessica Lansdale from the Alliance about their latest fight against irresponsible development. All of that in Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report, but first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Republican-led Texas State Senate has given final approval to the state's controversial new congressional map. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick announced the result at the end of a late-night session.
18 ayes and 8 nays. And members, for the record, there were more than 5 seconds to the motion. The motion is adopted.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign off on the new map requested by President Trump to boost Republican prospects to retain control of the U.S. House in next year's midterm elections. Texas Democrats signaling there will be a legal fight, and the move has set off similar efforts in Democratic-led California and potentially other states. A federal judge in California has extended a preliminary injunction blocking the Trump administration from denying federal funding to dozens of cities and counties over policy that limit cooperation with federal immigration authorities. The Trump administration says it has now arrested more than 700 people in Washington, D.C. as part of its mission to crack down on crime in the nation's capital. But as NPR's Meg Anderson reports, arrest data does not tell the whole story of public safety.
Data from the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department indicate that arrests in D.C. have ramped up during Trump's crime initiative compared to previous years. But policing experts caution that more arrests do not necessarily translate to more public safety. John Roman is a researcher with NORC at the University of Chicago.
You can imagine in situations where you send a lot of officers out into a very small area, they're told what the goals are for that day. And if they're told that, you know, we're making arrests today, they'll make that arrest.
NPR has asked for the names of those arrested in D.C. and what they were arrested for from both MPD and from the Trump administration. Neither has provided it. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
President Trump says he could extend the deadline again for the Chinese-owned video app TikTok to be sold or shut down. Trump likes the platform and now thinks national security concerns are overrated. Here's NPR's John Ruich.
Congress passed a law last year that forces TikTok owner ByteDance to sell the hugely popular platform to non-Chinese owners or face a ban in the United States. But Trump issued 3 executive orders giving the platform a reprieve. The latest one is due to expire on September 17th. This week, the White House launched a TikTok account, and Trump was asked if that meant he was no longer concerned about security around the app.
I'm a fan of TikTok. My kids like TikTok. Young people love TikTok. If we can keep it going, good.
Trump says he's going to, quote, watch the security concerns. As far as orchestrating the platform's sale, Trump says there are American buyers, but he hasn't spoken to Chinese leader Xi Jinping about it yet. John Ruich, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Sullivan County Legislature has approved its first solid waste management plan in over 30 years, outlining the county's approach to waste management for the next decade. Sullivan County Government Communications Director Dan Hoost emphasized the plan does not commit the county to any specific project, but demonstrates proactive planning.
It's been a good year or more since we've been working on this. The DEC got to see the draft of it. The public did. There were changes incorporated into that, and the final one was voted on by the legislature. Now it goes back to the DEC for their final review. They've got 30 days to do it. We expect, since we incorporated all the changes they wanted, that they will give it their approval and it will become our actual solid waste management plan to be updated every other year as necessary.
The plan addresses current waste management challenges, including the possible closure of the Seneca Meadows landfill upstate. The county is exploring alternative disposal options and has issued a request for proposals for a potential waste-to-energy facility near the closed Monticello landfill. Hoost clarified that this exploration is a part of the planning process and not a commitment to proceed.
Of course, there are members of the public who feel that a waste-to-energy plant is not the conscientious choice. There are also members of the public who feel it is. That debate, I think, is going to play out in public with both public comment and the legislature in the months to come. So the legislature has some choices to consider. But, of course, the choice there, too, could be not to go forward with a waste-to-energy plant. That is by no means a done deal in any way, shape, or form.
This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Okay, so as some of you may know, it's true, I grew up as a city girl, and it's a childhood actually with lots of fond memories. It's not anything I regret, but I remember even when I was a little girl, I always wished that I spent more time outdoors. I always wished that I was exposed or interacted with animals more. And my family and I would sometimes go to apple farms and wish that I knew more about the produce that I ate. And so last weekend, I was really touched when I saw so many youth in our community here in the Catskills participating at the Grahamsville Little World's Fair. For those that don't know, the fair is hosted by the Neversink Agriculture Society. It's the longest running independent fair in the entire state of New York, which I think is just so cool and makes me so proud to be a resident here in the Catskills. And it's a fair that has so much going on in such a small space. I went on Saturday and I had the opportunity to speak with so many different people doing 4-H dairy shows to lumberjack competitions. And even though everyone was kind of, you know, doing their own thing, everyone had so much passion about what they were talking with me about. So for Farming Country this week, we're highlighting the different voices I spoke to at the 145th annual Grahamsville Little World's Fair. It's a scorching hot Saturday at the Grahamsville Little World's Fair, and it's here where we meet all kinds of people that make the region's agriculture so special. It's where Barbara Moran and I head down a hill to a small barn.
So we're walking over by our dairy tent. Now, goats, if you don't know, are dairy goats and meat goats. So we have two varieties, but we also have a lot of pet goats here. And goats are so much fun. Later this afternoon, we're going to be having our goat obstacle course, where you'll watch the kids lead them through an array of obstacles. So welcome to our goat tent.
That's Barbara Moran. She's a 4-H program manager at Sullivan County's Cornell Cooperative Extension.
4-H is the largest youth program in the nation. It encompasses four pillars. So we talk about agriculture, civic engagement, STEM, and healthy living. And within that, there are thousands of lessons that come to the children. So when we talk about 4-H, we talk about a 4-H club. Children can also be independent members. And then we push into schools with in-school and after-school programs.
Next to the goats, I meet another set of furry friends.
Yeah, so this is our alpaca tent. Alpacas are another one of our projects that we do here. Many of these alpacas come from Buck Booker alpacas. I'll just take you around the side here, because what the product we get from alpacas is their fleece. So the students, again, the youth, again, learn about care, raising them, many of them from birth on up, the quality of the fleece, how to judge the fleece for what its use is going to be, and then how to make products, because Buckbrook Alpaca has a store.
Just outside the alpaca and dairy tent, 4-H youth manager Sloan is tabling the alpaca fiber store.
I'm going to show you how I made the soap.
Okay, tell me how tell me a little bit about how the soap is made.
So we took ivory soap bars and we grabbed some alpaca fiber that we had from our alpacas, and all the 4-H'ers handmade these. So we wrapped the alpaca in it, the alpaca fiber on the soap. We had to grab stockings and we had to put the soap in the stocking. And we had to dunk it in hot water. We had to scrub it a lot until it, like, was very lathery and white. And then we had to dunk it in cold water to make it all lathery. We had to take it out of the stocking, quickly get over to the table, put it on the table, and then we let it sit for a few days, and it actually turned into these beautiful, colorful alpaca soap bars.
Oh, my goodness. Can you show me one of them?
Yes. Excuse me, sorry.
Sure.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, so basically what it does, it exfoliates your skin and makes your skin super soft. And the alpaca fiber actually makes your, it actually makes the soap last way longer.
Okay, and tell me what it's been like. Have you been enjoying it?
Yeah, it's really fun. And actually yesterday I showed an animal.
What kind of animal?
An alpaca. We have 152 of them at Buckbrook.
Are any of these alpacas familiar to you?
Yeah.
Do you want to show me some of your friends?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to quickly put my
okay.
And come over here. I have one that's a male. This one's from Rosehaven because, so basically during showing, we get some other ones. Do you see that one that's, like, kind of brown and it has, like, a little bit of, like, a tan head?
Yes.
And
yes.
It's back there laying?
Okay.
Yeah. That one was the one I showed. It's a very sweet alpaca, and it won first place for two people.
First place?
Yeah, for me and my friend Riley, who also had to show him. I realized when I was showing an alpaca, it's definitely harder than most people think. But I thought it was going to, I was so scared at the beginning. But it realized if you just put your mind to something, you can truly do it.
The Grahamsville Little World's Fair is the longest running independent fair in New York. It offers all kinds of competitions, from livestock shows to chainsaws.
3, 2, 1, go!
So I'm Brandon Graves. I am part of NYSLA, which is the New York State Lumberjacks Association. We're an association that competes primarily in New York State, and we travel around and do shows at festivals, fairs, different events.
At the fair, Brandon Graves and other lumberjack competitors are gearing up for a weekend of axle throwing and sawing. On a patch of lawn, there's wood logs and chainsaws scattered throughout. He says for him, these competitions feel a bit like a time capsule into the past.
New York State in general has a lot of white pine, especially in the Adirondack region, and white pine was used to build ship masts. So we would trade goods with other countries when we were becoming a nation. So like England, France, and it just ended up that the white pine was like the straightest growing timber. That's what we're cutting today. But a lot of the events that we do reverence the lumberjack events from yesteryear, like the sawing, the axe throwing. It was stuff that they would start doing in logging camps when they would get bored and they'd want to compete against each other.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope. Just if you have any interest, check out New York State Lumberjack Association. And all I got to say is great big lumberjack, yo-ho!
Just up the hill from the lumberjack events, Chelsea Mahaney just wrapped up judging a fiercely competitive dairy show by 4-H youth.
Today we judged the dairy show. Had lots of competition. We're talking everything from milking shorthorn to linebacks, Holsteins, of course, Jerseys, right down through the line. So we also had a different variation in age group that was showing. So we had a bunch of 4-H'ers and a ton of open class as well.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what you're kind of looking out for during a dairy show.
So lots of people just tend to go with taller cattle that are more dairy. I like to look at the overall, basically the production of life or life production that you're looking for. I like a cow that's going to be feed efficient. You can tell by the way that they carry themselves, you know. As far as like rib depth goes, chest width, good foot angle, great udder attachment for the animals that don't have developed udders yet because they're not lactating. You're looking at some of them with a nice straight back, nice level head, and weigh the neck, how they carry themselves. Just basically from nose to tail, everything's got to match up, right?
Mahini says that having youth interact with cattle is so important to keeping dairy farming thriving here in the Catskills.
Every day, three times a day, you need to eat. And dairy is one of the major food groups that you need to have. You need to have your calcium for strong bones, strong teeth, strong muscles. Super important. Even whole milk is 97% lean, so it's important. I just like to be out here supporting dairy farmers. Dairy, some people call it a dying trade, but we need more people in agriculture, more people willing to put in the work because we've got a lot of people here to feed, and dairy is the way to do it.
And before I headed home, I met one last furry friend.
Bunny?
I do.
Come on and pet a bunny.
Bye.
Your day can't be complete until you pet a bunny.
That's Karen Coombe, who's holding the sweetest gray rabbit. She's a 4-H leader of the Grahamsville Puppy Pals Club, which she prefaces has nothing to do with dogs, but is a general club where youth learn about rabbits and other animals.
What are some of the things that kids are surprised to learn about rabbits?
Their teeth grow for their entire life. They grow half an inch a month. So that's why they are constantly gnawing on things to keep their teeth down. Most people are very surprised to learn that rabbits are not rodents. They're lagomorphs. because they have similar teeth to rodents, everyone says, oh, it's just a rodent.
Karen introduces me to one of the Puppy Pals Club member, Haley, and her rabbit. Her name is Pepper.
So what breed is she?
She's a Netherland Dwarf Broken Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how old she is?
She's 4 years old.
4 years old already?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
She's a black and white, and she's really sweet. But sometimes she knocks over her food dish. That annoys me a lot. And when I come into the barn in the morning, I see her. She comes running up to the cage.
And that's the kind of joy that animals can bring at the Grahamsville Little World's Fair. In Grahamsville, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill. Big thanks to everyone I spoke to and met at this year's fair. You're listening to Farm and Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Up next, you know what time it is. This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. A glance in the southeastern sky will reveal a patch of sky with one lone bright star. This solitary star is Fomalhaut, the brightest star in the constellation Pisces Austrinus, the southern fish. Fomalhaut is visible from all over the Earth and is known by many as the Lonely Star. The area around Fomalhaut is not empty of stars, but the stars in the area are very faint, so it appears that Fomalhaut is the sole star in the area. To find the Lonely Star, look low in the south-southeast starting around midnight this week. Look for a bright white star in an otherwise empty part of the sky. Fomalhaut reaches its highest point in the sky due south around 1 a.m. and sets just before 5 a.m. in the southwest. The star is relatively close to Earth at 25 light years away. Fomalhaut is a young star at only 440 million years old. Contrast Fomalhaut's age to that of our sun's, which is 4.5 billion years old. Fomalhaut has several rings of gas and dust orbiting it. This is a sign that planets are in the process of forming around the star. Within the ring of gas and dust lies an object that was thought to be a planet, then dismissed as gas and dust, and then confirmed again as a planet. It is still uncertain what the object is. Look to the southeast this week to see the solitary star Fomalhaut. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future StarTalk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and StarTalk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks to Keith for this week's Report from the Stars. Last year, the Lake Communities Alliance celebrated a big victory when the New York State Supreme Court overturned the Avon Park development project. But their calls to continue protecting the local environment haven't stopped. Their efforts range from fighting massive development projects in the area to protect and conserve our local environments and waterways, to their push to formally designate the Delaware and the Hudson Canal Reservoir as a critical environmental area. It's often referred to as a CEA. And this Sunday, the Alliance is hosting a community update and fundraiser at Dutchess Tavern in Rock Hill, New York. Joining me on the phone now to tell us about what the group has been up to and about this upcoming fundraiser on August 23rd is Jessica Lansdale, president of the Lake Communities Alliance. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So tell me more about the mission of the Lake Communities Alliance. What does the organization do and who do you serve exactly?
Well, the Lake Communities Alliance was formed in early 2020 when we noticed that development around our area was accelerating, and there were some questionable proposals in front of the planning board. So we are a group of residents that focus primarily on the lake communities around the Delaware and Hudson Canal Reservoir lakes, which are around exit 112, 19, 110 on Route 17. Right. These are historic land-made lakes. So that's our focus. It's Town of Thompson and Town of Mamikating. We review pretty much every planning, zoning, and town board agenda that's in front of Thompson and Mamikating. And whenever we see that there are some issues, maybe with zoning or development, that we want to get the community involved, we notify our community and we say, hey, you know, you should be aware that there's this distribution center being proposed here, or there's maybe some high density housing proposed here that's in a sensitive area. So We mobilize the community to show up at the planning board meetings or the town board meetings, or to write letters.
And I mean, that resource for the community is so important, because I'm sure you know, sometimes sitting in those zoning and planning meetings and reading those documents, it can be a full-time job.
Yes, it can be overwhelming. And you know what? The town officials are overwhelmed too. So, What the reality is Sullivan County has always been pro-development, because so little was ever really developed here. So, of course, they had the mindset to bring development in. But what we're seeing now is an absolutely explosive development in our county. We've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so core to the mission of the Lake Community Alliance is looking at the mm-hmm. local developments and making sure that the ones that do move forward are being made responsibly. What are some of the big issues top of mind for you right now?
Well, the big issue, one of the big things we fought was having a distribution center right in the Rock Hill area, the proposal called Avon Park. And it kind of set the template for everything going forward for us. It was our first issue. This is a 550,000 square feet, million square development right off of Rock Hill. And it really wasn't zoned for that. It was zoned for a warehouse, which is, you know, basically storage. So we ended up mobilizing the community, just like I just said. And when it seemed like our concerns were not being addressed, we also hired experts to look at the proposals and study the things that have to go in front of the planning board, like the traffic study and the SEQA review, which is State Environmental Quality Review Act. We wanted to see how they're protecting the environment. And these experts stated their opinion. So when that wasn't incorporated and the project was moved forward, we ended up bringing a lawsuit. So that was our first thing. We're not against development, but we just monitor that kind of development. And we've also pulled back for a wider view of the whole issue of the whole area to say, now wait a minute. We can't just fight fires as they pop up. What are we really trying to do here? And what's our real vision? And it's that this area is, we're calling it a critical environmental area. It's very, very sensitive ecologically because, I'm going to describe it for people who don't know the area. Mm. Imagine a heart, not a physical heart, but like a heart-shaped emoji. So the right side of the heart is the Bashakil, if it's laying on a map. The left side of the heart is the Neversink. And right in the middle are these circle of lakes that are man-made for the D&H Canal as reservoirs. You have Wanasink, you have Wolf Lake, Lake Louise Marie, Maston Lake, Yankee Lake, and a number of smaller lakes like Treasure Lake and some ponds. And one side of the heart flows the watershed, the water from both the lakes and the land flows into the Bashakil. And the other side flows into the Neversink. Now, the Bashakil is extraordinarily important ecologically. They said it's home to over 200 species of birds, 30 varieties of fish, 40 types of butterflies, tons of plants and reptiles and amphibians,
wow,
mammals, insects. Federally protected species are there, threatened and endangered species. And they're saying that the surrounding valley, which is largely unprotected, contains some of the largest intact and globally important forest blocks. So we are saying, well, let's have this designated as a critical environmental area, which doesn't change zoning in any way, shape, or form. It's simply a flag to the planning board, the town board, and any developer that they need to be very careful when they propose development.
Jessica, I think you've given us a great sneak peek to this upcoming event that the Lions is having on Sunday, August 24th. It's a community update and fundraiser. Tell me a little bit more about what this event is for.
Yeah, so every year we have a fundraiser, but we also give the community an update on everything we've been covering for the past year. So we would give the community an update on our lawsuit with Avon Park, for example, and where we stand with a couple other big developments that we had mobilized the community to their protests or come talk about their concerns with. We are going to give them an update on the CEA and where we are with that, getting that through.
And the community update and fundraiser, it's going to be on Sunday, August 24th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Dutchess Tavern in Rock Hill. How can folks get tickets?
You can go onto our website, rhlca.org. So it'll be fun. Please come. We're going to have every year we have a great time. We have raffles, we have prizes, we have speeches, we have presentations, there's food. So it's fun.
Oh, that sounds like such a good time. And
and it's only 2 hours. It's only 2 hours. It goes quick.
Yeah. And Jessica, before we sign off, I mean, even in just our conversation today, I think you've given folks a lot of opportunities or ways to plug in or maybe a different way of thinking about their environment. Do you want to share with folks how they can stay plugged into the Alliance and the work that you do?
Yeah, you can sign up for our updates and our newsletter. We're going to start putting out a newsletter, but we also send out updates.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been chatting with Jessica Lansdale, president of the Lake Communities Alliance. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us on Farming Country.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's our show for this week. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend for us here at Radio Catskill. On Friday, we got Putt-Putt for Public Radio. Saturday, our big music sale here at our Liberty Studio. And on Sunday, you can join me at the Catskill Brewery in Livingston Manor. We'll be drinking beer, supporting public radio. It's that simple. You can find more information on all of these events on our website at wjffradio.org. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and PR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors, celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail, morgan-outdoors.com.
Hey, it's Ira Flatow.